We heard last week how Matthew likes to quote the Old Testament. He wants to show us how Jesus fulfills all the promises of the Old Testament. And last week, Matthew quoted Isaiah 7, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And he wanted to show us how it is that God keeps his word. Well, this week again, Matthew is quoting from the Old Testament, but this time from the prophet Micah. Micah lived about the same time as Isaiah. In fact, he prophesied about many of the same things. Micah, like Isaiah, declared through the Lord that the northern kingdom of Israel would fall. And he, like Isaiah, was likely alive when it actually did. But Micah made it clear that this was no accident. It was a judgment from the Lord. God was removing the kingdom because of their idolatry and their refusal to walk in his ways. But just in case Judah thought that they were just fine, Micah made it very clear that their judgment was also on the way. Because Judah was guilty of many of the same sins, even as they thought that they were serving the Lord. In Judah, the rich were oppressing the poor, forcing them off their land so that they could take it for their own, or turning them into debt slaves, forcing them to sell off their land in order to pay it off. In Judah, their rulers were perverting justice. They were not seeking what was right. They were not doing their job. Instead, they were taking bribes and ruling in favor of the rich. They were using the law for evil instead of for good. And their prophets were no better. They were speaking lies in God's name, even leading the people to think that there was no danger for them at all, that there was no need for them to change, there was no need for them to repent. God was pleased with them in everything that they did. That's what the prophet said. But it was a lie. So judgment was going to fall on Judah too. They also would be destroyed. They also would be invaded. They also would be carried away. Because God will not be mocked. He would punish them for their sins. But Christians, God is a God of mercy. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And God is willing to forgive those who turn away from their sins, no matter how many those sins might be. Though their sins were like scarlet, God would make them as white as wool. And even if they were going to be sent away because of their sins, God promised that he would bring them back again. God would make them his people, not just in name, but in reality. God would give them a new heart so that they would dwell in peace forever. But the thing was, Christians, God couldn't just ignore their sins. He couldn't just say that everything was fine and just to let it go. That would not be just. And God is just. And besides, it wouldn't solve the deeper problem. God had to cleanse them. God had to purify them from their sins. That's why the judgment still had to come. That's why Babylon still had to carry them away. Even if they hadn't done all of the terrible things that the other people had done, they would still be carried away. Because only by sending them out of the land would they become something new. Only by scattering them among the nations would they finally be cleansed of their idolatry. Even if they repented now, they still had to go into exile. And that's exactly what Micah told them. So knowing that then, knowing that they would still be sent into exile, they needed something to prove to them that God still loved them. They needed something to prove to them that God would still keep his promise to restore them, even as he punished them for their sins. That's why Micah begins our reading by saying in verse 1, "Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek." Muster your troops. Gather your army. The siege has come. The nations have invaded, and they are striking Israel on the cheek. The judgment has fallen. Not by accident. This is from God himself. It is the invasion that they deserved because of their sins. But it would not be the end. As Micah goes on to say, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Bethlehem, of course, was never a large town in the time of the Old Testament or in the time of the New. It wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't Samaria. It was almost too small to count for anything. But from Bethlehem, Micah says, would come forth a ruler, one to lead all of God's people, one who would deliver them from evil and save them from their enemies. Now, I don't doubt that Micah said this because in reality, a king had already come from Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the place where David was born, and it was the very same place where God anointed him to be king of his people. So in a sense, Micah is saying that David would come again to save Judah, to reign as king just as he did before, when things were better than they were now. But this would not be David reborn. David would not suddenly appear on a white horse in order to save the day. Because the king who would come from Bethlehem would come from of old, from ancient days, from before David, before Moses, before Abraham, even before the foundation of the world. Because the king who was coming from Bethlehem was not David, but the son of David, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was, as Matthew tells us, born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, just like David was born in Bethlehem so long ago, and who, as the Magi recognized, had been born as the king of the Jews. The long-promised ruler had come to save his people from their sins. Now, of course, for Israel in the days of Micah, that was all still in the future. They still had to go into exile. This is why Micah says in verse 3, "Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth." The time of their full cleansing would only come when the Virgin Mary had given birth to a son. But once that king was born, things would be different. Micah says again, "Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." In those days, God would gather his people. God would unite them all into one, so that they would live under one king and one shepherd, who would be known to the very ends of the earth, and bring peace to all who trust in him, because he is the Prince of Peace. But just in case we think that this has nothing to do with us Christians, don't forget that we are also waiting. Not for Jesus to be born. That happened a long time ago. But rather for the King to return, when he will come in majesty and in glory. On that day, he will gather in his people. On that day, he will unite those who believe in him into one, so that we will live under one king and under one shepherd forever. So when we are faced with our own suffering, when siege is laid upon us, when we must suffer the consequences of our sins, or even just struggle with the oppression of the world, we should not think that God has somehow forgotten us, or that he has cast us off forever. The King from Bethlehem will come to deliver us from all evil, and to make us dwell in peace, and to finally save us from this evil that we suffer to be with him forever. He will be our shepherd. He will lead us to streams of living water. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and he shall be our peace forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, when you discipline us in love, do not let us become impatient, but cause us to always remember your love, which you have shown to us in our King, Jesus Christ, your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.